The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't trust Christians or other conservatives because they often have an agenda. Let me tell you something. Everybody has an agenda. It's just that some admit it and others don't. And what would make us think more about agendas than Academy Awards night? Yes, indeed. It's time for Oscar to honor the best picture of the year, the picture that was truly the best written, the best acted, the best directed. Never would Hollywood make their decision based upon what's politically correct. If I were making a bet in Las Vegas, I'd put my money on Milk. Now, I know the conventional wisdom says Slumdog Millionaire, but Milk is about gay activism, and Hollywood must punish the people of California for Proposition 8. Either Milk will win Best Picture, or it will win in the category of Best Actor for Sean Penn, possibly Best Director, but that's not the only movie we're talking about today. Film critic Mark Boobian is going to discuss all the major nominees, and Mark is just daring enough, just bold enough, just original enough to actually review the movies artistically. We'll bring Mark on in just a couple of minutes. First, I have an email to read. You can always send us your own email comments or questions, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. This is from Sandra. Sandra is responding to last week's topic. Did God create the world in six literal days? You'll recall my answer. I believe God can do whatever he wants. But given the way Genesis chapter 1 was written, I don't think we are forced to conclude a literal six-day creation. In any event, Sandra says, yes, he did. And on day 7, he rested, just like I believe he parted the Red Sea. Jonah got swallowed by a whale, David killed Goliath, Jesus died and resurrected for our sins, and that God destroyed Sodom for homosexuality, etc. It's true based on our faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 13. No evidence required because it is based on faith. Well, Sandra, I know you mean well, but actually there is a great deal of evidence for the reliability of the Bible. The Bible writers defined faith as obedience. They did not intend for people to follow something that was not true or that they couldn't find out or discover to be true. The witness of the Holy Spirit was listed by John as a reason to be sure of Christ. This was a genuine experience with God, not a blind leap in the dark. The historical reliability of the resurrection was also listed by Paul as a reason in 1 Corinthians 15. Sandra, a serious message needs a serious defense. It is simply unfair to preach a message as life-changing as the gospel without verification. Think about it. We are literally telling people that they will end up in hell for all of eternity if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Nobody wants to end up in hell, but at the same time, nobody wants to dedicate his or her life to a fantasy or a waste of time. People have a right to ask the very understandable question, how do I know this to be true? You have asked me for a life commitment and painted a horrific picture of what will happen if I refuse. Please convince me that I'm committing myself to something real. At this point, the smiley Christian replies, you must accept it on faith. Do you see why atheists have a heyday with Christianity? Why should people follow something that's not real? In most of my formal debates, the opponent begins by talking about the ridiculousness of blind faith. It's only when I define faith differently that the discussion changes. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop Culture Today's show will be a pop culture edition with our reoccurring film critic, Mark Boubian. Mark, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Well, we sent you to the movies. We sent you to see a lot of movies. Some of you didn't even want to see, but you were faithful enough to watch the five nominees.
I was. I still can't believe it. I survived. And, you know, the funny thing is the Academy Awards, all the talk about the Academy Awards outside of the circles of political agenda are about them reshaping and reimaging the awards itself, because last year the Academy Awards had the worst ratings in something like 20 years.
Most of the people I talked to today didn't even know they were on tonight.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
And I still don't even know what time they're on tonight. I'm planning on watching them. I think they start at 5, but I don't even know what time they're on.
Yeah, actually, I don't either, because I don't care. The thing is nobody cares, because to re-image, what did they do? They went out and picked 5 movies that nobody, literally nobody, has actually seen.
Now, except for you.
Yeah,
and me, right. Seeing a few of them.
A couple of crazy people or reviewers, I guess, is
reviewers
is how
have
it goes.
To see movies.
Yes,
that's the
exactly.
Drawback of being a reviewer.
The five nominees have made less money. It's the least box office gross at announcement of any set of Academy Awards movies in history.
Oh, they're probably going to ask Congress for a bailout if they don't.
Well, they could at that point, yeah. I mean, because that's the only way they're going to get it. Actually, once they announce the Academy Awards, movies do start making more money. But this year, I don't think that's happened too much. The only movie that's really done well is Benjamin Button in the group. It's made over $100 million, but that's the only real successful movie that they've seen. And though I generally wouldn't let that dictate whether or not the movie is good. Whether a lot of people see it or not shouldn't mean the movie's
sure,
good.
Sure, because there's been box office hits that have been real stinkeroos, too.
Yeah, there have been tons. But the thing is if they want to re-image the Academy Awards, they really do need to start with what movies they're picking. But this year, the problem is not only did they pick movies nobody's seen, they picked movies that nobody should see. These are 5 of the worst movies I have actually seen this year.
Well, you know what's frustrating, Mark? It's usually around Christmas time that they release the potential Oscar movies. And I saw film after film that I thought was good. I was just sure they were going to get nominated. And I was going, boy, what a crop of good movies we have this year. And not one of those movies made the freaking list.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, the Academy Awards, if anything, they are unpredictable. That's for sure.
Unless they're being political, then they tend to be very predictable.
Yeah, well, though, even then, look at Brokeback Mountain. It was a shoo-in as the winner.
It did still win Best Director, though.
Yes, but it didn't win. I mean, that doesn't mean anything compared to Best Picture. And
no,
it certainly didn't take that.
But I'm sure the Best Director award was political as well.
Possibly, yeah. I thought it was, and you know me, I reviewed that movie. I thought it was well done. But it was certainly one of the greatest disappointments in Academy Award history, because it was absolutely nobody expected anything but Brokeback Mountain to win Best Picture.
Do you think they'll try to make up for that with Milk and also with Prop 8 in mind, or are you of the opinion that they're going to give this thing to Slumdog Millionaire?
I'm of the opinion, okay, I think it's far more likely that Milk will win the award than Slumdog Millionaire. I don't think Slumdog Millionaire actually has a chance to win. I'm not the best predictor of these things. Again, because the Academy Awards are unpredictable, it's tough. But I don't see Slumdog taking the award.
Well, I actually see it as one of the top 5, but if it got
that's
there,
true.
If it made it there, it could make it anywhere.
Yeah, you never know. But I actually do think that of the two, Milk would be more likely, but there's another nominee that's even more likely to win.
And what do you think that is?
And I think that's going to be Benjamin Button.
Just because of the unusualness of it?
No, actually, I feel that it's a movie that's designed to be Best Picture.
See, now that's how I felt. I reminded me a lot of The English Patient. Not that it was the same story, but in the sense that it seemed like a formula movie where some people sat down and said, if we want to win an Academy Award, what ingredients should go into it? I could just see the effort and the agenda and the campaign to win the award.
Right. You know, it's like you read my mind, because The English Patient was exactly the movie I was thinking of when I saw Benjamin Button. It has beautiful cinematography, compelling characters. It's a sweeping epic. It's actually a well-told story. It's emotionally engrossing. But
you didn't like it.
I didn't like
things.
It because it is absolutely tearfully boring. Like, I just sat there and was like, when is this thing going to end? Okay, come on. I mean,
oh, you mean
from
it did
the
end?
Beginning to, it almost
it,
didn't. I think
I didn't
it was
know
almost
it ever ended.
Yeah, boy, it was so boring. And that, you know, that's the problem with the film. It just is a character study. It doesn't really. It didn't have a good story. There was no conflict. And for me, a movie has to have good conflict to be a good movie. There has to be a story. There has to be something, the driving force behind the character's motivation. In this film, it's just about a guy who ages backwards. Now, if they had said, why are you aging backwards? Let's figure it out. There would be some conflict.
Yeah, there was never even an attempt to explain
no
that.
No question.
That
it's just, this is happening, and let's look at his life through the backwards
and it was
mirror.
A ripoff. Merlin aged backwards too, so it wasn't even that original.
Really? I didn't know that.
That was the Merlin character in King Arthur lived backwards.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. That maybe F. Scott Fitzgerald actually wrote this book, the story. It's a short story.
Really? Okay, because he is a very good writer.
Yeah,
so, that
so he ripped
me.
It off from the King Arthur tale. I didn't know
right.
that. So, yeah, but I think that this is still the shoe-in to win because it has all of the elements that make the best picture what it is,
yeah.
And it thrills the people. And I think
but
it
how
it'll
would a member of the Academy explain to their friends that they didn't vote for Milk and how homophobic of them?
Well, yeah, but they don't have to
of
actually
it's a
tell
secret
their
ballot. That's true. Yeah. They could lie and say that they did vote for
but
Milk.
But again, I mean, Crash beat Brokeback Mountain. I mean, so it's possible. Again, it's unpredictable. They're unpredictable. Now, I do believe that Milk is the second strongest possibility of to win, and I don't think it deserves it at all, because I didn't feel that it was that good of a movie. I mean, it's a good movie, but it's just not it's not Best Picture material. It's not a fun movie. It's not something I enjoy. And when I think of a good movie, I think of something that has a good story. I want to be excited by the story. I want to be drawn in emotionally or moved by the film, and I also want a movie that I think about afterwards that I'm. That I walk out and then for the next couple of days of, hey, what were they trying to say? What were they doing? Milk is not the kind of movie that does that. They've told you everything they want you to think in the movie. And there's not really a great story. Again, that's another one of those where it's about a guy who we already know is assassinated. And why he's assassinated really isn't even much of the story. How that assassination came about actually had very little to do with the gay agenda at all. I mean, it just a guy had lost his job and he blamed Milk to some extent or felt betrayed by Harvey Milk. That's why he assassinates him. But that's such a tiny portion of the film. And Josh Brolin, who received a Best Supporting Actor nomination for the assassin, he's in less than half the movie. I think he's in about a quarter of the movie. I think it would be an absolute travesty if he won because he's in so little of the film and because he plays just a very straight, kind of just emotionally troubled character.
Well, I guess they feel they're covered by saying supporting actors.
Yeah,
they
well,
feel like
but
could be in less.
He's up against Heath Ledger.
Who did a wonderful job.
Who was absolutely astounding in The Dark Knight.
And, okay, well, we'll be back in a moment with film critic Mark Boubian to go through the five nominees for Best Picture. We'll also look at nominees for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director. Maybe even talk about a couple of films that we wish had been nominated but hadn't been. Please join us. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
The next day you're down.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with film critic Mark Boobian. We're going through the Academy Award nominees, and both of us waiting with bated breath to see the awards. I'll be with some friends and have some good food, so it won't be a total waste of time for me. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I did not see Milk. I made Mark go see Milk as the critic. Now, I don't usually do that. I saw Brokeback Mountain a couple years ago, and this was a departure for me. As a radio talk show host, I am, as a general rule, of the opinion that if I'm going to discuss something and criticize it, I should actually see it. I just have to admit, I got tired of it. I heard that there were some graphic scenes in there. I decided I just didn't want to do it this time, so I figured I'll let Mark discuss it intelligently. I did see the other four nominees, though. So, Mark, go ahead and start going through them one at a time. You don't have to start with Milk, but start with whatever one you want.
Okay, well, you know, why don't I start with Slumdog Millionaire, and then we can move on to Milk.
Now, is it just me? I hated that movie. I kept hearing how good it was. It got wonderful reviews. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, you know, I actually watched that first when I decided to see all of the Academy Award movies. I picked that one first because I had heard that was the best of the group.
Now, I love the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, so I thought that would make it very entertaining. All it did was make me depressed now, even when I watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I can't stop thinking about that stupid movie.
Yeah. Well, oh, come on. But it's in India. They did all India.
Oh, yeah. It takes place
questions.
In India, not America, so we have to like it. See, yes. There's a little political correctness
there
in this,
go.
Too.
There you go. I guess so. But, you know, the thing about this movie is, I try to take something good away from films, and this is one of those movies. It starts with torture, and it's torture throughout, but it's torturing us throughout. That's how I
felt.
And
even when things come together in a positive way at the end, it seems so contrived and so phony. I mean, who would buy that for a second, unless it was based on a true story? I don't even think it's based on a true
story. No, it's not, actually. It's based on a novel, and then the term Slumdog was actually invented by the writer of the screenplay.
So what made this catch the Academy's eyes? Because they showed Muslims being persecuted by Hindus?
Well, that was only 1 minute in the film. I don't know if that's enough to
dominant theme
to take. I mean, I honestly do not know why the Academy liked this movie so much to nominate it, because, again, there were so many better movies out there to catch their attention. But
boy, there's 2 hours of my life I'll never have again.
Yeah, well, I think it was more like three. So
okay, 3 hours of my life I'll never have again.
The one thing I'd like to took away from this movie is if you aren't glad to be an American, then you should see this movie, because you will be after you see it. Because I believe the depictions of life of the very poor in Mumbai was accurate. I had read some of the accounts of the people filming there.
But who wants to watch that for 3 hours?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, I honestly wouldn't. And it was, like I said, it was torturous. I mean, it starts with a scene of torture. That's how it begins. Then we see the riots and religious persecution. We have a child whose eyes are burned out, and we see the children who had their legs chopped off and various body parts removed. Then there's murder followed by rape. The brother rapes the guy's love of his life. His brother rapes her. And, I mean, there's a complete and total lack of human kindness. Now, after I realized this at some point in the movie, nobody has been kind to our main character once in the film. Finally, at some point, there's this flashback to these Americans that stopped the main character from being beaten.
Yes.
That is the only moment of mercy, of kindness in the whole film. And there is so much unkindness, so much pain, so much suffering, that it just becomes overwhelming. And to go see a movie where that's all we're seeing is suffering and the terrors of the world, I mean, I do believe that the world, it can be a terrible place, certainly. And as a Christian, I want to know about that, so that if there's something I can do, I want to do something. But to be subjected to that in a film without any sort of relief, it just was absolutely torturous. And so I couldn't stand the movie. I actually took a couple of days off of watching movies after Slumdog Millionaire because it affected me so badly. I think a good comparison of this movie, comparing it to Crash, which was we've been discussing that as the winner of the Best Picture.
The movie that beat out Brokeback a couple of years
ago. Yeah,
now
that movie's about racism, and we see some terrible moments of racism in that. Now that whole movie is about racism. It's different vignettes of racist activity.
From what I remember, Crash was a pretty decent movie.
It still is a decent movie because we have moments of kindness mixed in with the moments of...
You have to break the tension. You just can't show... I mean, to me, a movie either needs to entertain, or if it's going to be problematic and have pain, there should be a message. I wasn't quite sure I saw what the message was. Neither was I particularly entertained by Slumdog.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I don't think showing pure tragedy reflects the human element accurately, and that's probably why I'm reacting so negatively to it. There is kindness in the world. Maybe it is few and far between that we have kind moments, but it does exist. And to say that it doesn't is not reflecting humanity accurately.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of threw up my hands with Slumdog, and it's for that reason I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, because it is just too torturous of a film. There is just too much.
But you got to figure some of the bozos that nominated it may be the same bozos that vote for it.
Yeah, no, actually they're not. There's only some. There's a small percentage. I'm not sure what it is, but the Academy's quite large. Compared to who nominates.
I think you can only nominate within your category. So probably only producers can nominate for Best Picture.
I'm not
only
sure.
Directors nominate for Best Director. I think that's the way it works.
That's probably right. Yeah. Now let's start. Why don't we go ahead and talk about Milk a little bit?
Yeah, let's
since we have been talking about
with.
That.
It is unavoidable.
Yeah. now, actually, Sean Penn is up for Best Actor for this film. And I do not think it would be politically correct to give him the award. I think he would deserve the award of Best Actor because he did an impeccable job as ever. He's a great actor.
Well, no, I didn't see this film again. I do think Sean Penn is an excellent actor. But, okay, let's say his acting is good, and let's say he even deserves it. Why are you convinced that would be the reason they gave it to him other than political reasons?
Oh, well, because he's good at it. I mean, it's political reasons it would get best
picture.
But
if somebody else is just as good, don't you think the politics would weigh them more toward Sean Penn?
Yeah, that's probably true. And I haven't seen every picture in the Best Actor category, so I wouldn't be able to say this, you know, he's the absolute best, but he is so good in this film that it would not be tragic for him to win.
Well, I can believe that. I always have felt that he's done an excellent job in movies. I wish he'd keep his mouth shut about social and political issues, but he is a phenomenal actor.
Well, that's why he made this movie, though. Exactly. He wouldn't have been in this movie if he kept his mouth shut about social issues, because this was all this movie was about. Yeah. And this is another movie where it's just not a very interesting, enjoyable movie. I did not enjoy this movie.
Wild guess. They didn't portray honestly both sides and both views of the homosexuality issue.
Well, you know, I don't know if they did or didn't, because they painted in very broad strokes, and they were showing a political. I think it was Proposition 6. It centered around a proposition in the 70s that was to fire any teacher or public servant that was gay. They had to be fired if they were gay. And this, I think, is an unjust law, would have been an unjust law, and it failed. It didn't pass. And the obvious comparison was that it would be comparing it to Proposition 8. But still, I felt like they did portray one side versus the other, because they were focusing on the gay agenda.
Right. Okay, primarily. We'll return to this, a review of Milk with Mark Boobian and other nominees for the Oscars. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show with film critic Mark Bluebeam. We're going through the nominees for that wonderful Academy Award presentation tonight. Mark was discussing the film Milk, and no, it's not about those things you drink out of cartons. It's about activist Harvey Milk, and he was the one portrayed by Sean Penn.
That's correct. And I took a quick look at the Best Actors nominations during the break, and I've seen three of the five. And of the three that I've seen, I do think Sean Penn is the best. Richard Jenkins for The Visitor, a movie I didn't see. Frank Langella, who was in Frost Nixon, he portrayed Richard Nixon.
I saw that. I thought he did a very good job.
He was. I kept seeing Frank Langella versus Richard Nixon, so I wasn't sold. Sean Penn in Milk, of course. Brad Pitt in Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I thought this Brad Pitt's one, he can be either really good or really bad. He was really good in this movie. I think he could win Best Actor. But I still think Sean Penn would deserve it more, because that was another movie I saw. The favorite is Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler.
The Wrestler, which I did not see, but I heard that was a very good
movie. Nor I, but, you know. And I like that director, Darren Aronofsky. He's made some very good movies, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to see this. So, like I said before, I think Sean Penn could win this and it be, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be a political statement of sorts. I think he's done, of the three that I have seen, he is the best of those three. And I would have voted for him as best actor if I were given a ballot.
You didn't care for the film.
No, his acting was great, but the film was absolutely not great.
And what was not great about it?
Well, one of the things about the movie is it dealt in cliches. One of the classic cliches is people that are opposed to homosexuality.
They're all homophobes, bigots.
Those homophobes are actually suppressing their own homosexuality. And I've actually heard that about me. I said to somebody, I'm not homosexual once, and he said, oh, you're just suppressing your own gay. I was like, come on, where did that come from?
Well, that's like the person that says he's not a racist. A, he's denied the fact that we're all racist, but B, he's more racist than ever for denying.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that's sort of a common thing in today's politically correct world. And the murderer, the assassin in this film, I believe his name's Dan White. Milk himself actually suggests that he's suppressing his own homosexuality, the assassin. And that's why he's got problems in his life. And, Milk says, I've lived that life of hiding, and I see it in his eyes.
Of course, that this contradicts the other politically correct conventional wisdom, which says that only white heterosexual males are racist and homophobic. But if the homophobic is also a homosexual, then it kind of contradicts their idea, because they were also saying a homosexual couldn't be that way. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. We're human. We're not consistent. What do you want? And this is the arts. The arts don't have to be scientific or consistent either. Now, very common statistic that's cited is that 90% of the people in the world are straight and 10% are gay. That's from a Kinsey report in the 40s, a fairly disputed...
Which is a very disputed report.
Yeah, and they make sure they cite that in the movie at some point. And and the problem is it's stated in a way that pulls you out of the movie and says, you're not watching a movie anymore, you're listening to me preach about homosexuality. And I don't want that. I want to come away with my own conclusions. I don't want to be hit over the head.
Yeah, I don't mind a movie having a message, because as I said at the top of the program, I think we all have agendas, and some admit them and some don't. But you don't want to hit somebody over the head with it. You want to give them some benefit for intelligence and let them draw a few of their own conclusions.
Right,
and
they,
for Pete's sake, show both sides.
Right.
If your side is really the truth, it should come out. You shouldn't have to portray the other side is some kind of ridiculous stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. And in this movie, Christians are... this was the hardest part, where Christians were portrayed as hateful. One of the lines was, you can argue with me, but you can't argue with God. And then there's man's law and there's God's law, and we enforce either. And these kinds of lines are lines that say, you know, we can't argue. There's no point to reason with us. We're Christians. We just blindly believe this. And
rather than showing actual studies from clinical psychiatrists and psychologists who do not believe you're born gay, God forbid they should put data like that.
Yeah, well, even if people are born gay, we could still talk about it in that context. Now, to be fair, Christians actually have not done a good job with the gay movement. And they do show real footage of Anita Bryant saying the most horrible things you could ever imagine a Christian saying. Basically, that we hate, I hate you, God hates you. And this is what Anita Bryant
See,
is
now, I heard
conveying.
Anita Bryant interviewed one time, and she may not have been the most tactful person in the world, but I heard her interviewed and denying that she hated gays. So I think that even that was probably something taken out of context.
It very well could have been because it was a news report.
I saw her on the Donahue show. She was interviewed for an hour. She sounded very loving, very compassionate. But, you know, she might have said something stupid once, and then it's caught on videotape.
Yeah, well,
posterity.
there were more than one clip in this movie. And this was a very contentious issue.
But there are many
time.
People who've said intelligent and compassionate things about gays, and a movie like this doesn't represent that. And that's
right.
What is so frustrating.
And they're not going to, and that's unfortunate. But I think as Christians, we definitely need to get the message out.
In
the
a
primary
way.
Message that God does not hate you if you're
of course.
Gay. And there's a line in the movie where Harvey Milk is talking to somebody who's going to commit suicide, and he says, "You're not sick, you're not wrong, and God does not hate you." And to me, this was the worst line in the movie for me as a Christian, because he had to say, "And God does not hate you." He had to say that because the gay person he's talking to on the phone has not heard that. And I think this is a criticism that is legitimate of Christianity, that we need to get out and tell gays, God loves you. That message has to be the primary message to homosexuality.
Now, in defense of Christians, I would agree that in the 70s and the 80s primarily, the church was doing a horrendous job toward gays. They were singling out homosexuality like it was more sinful than anything else. I think a lot of that changed in the 90s, and there were many intelligent, compassionate speeches and presentations done by those that were the architects of Proposition 8, but they still got portrayed as if it were 20 years ago. So I do think the church has learned and is trying to catch up, but there's just this reputation now that they can't escape. Perhaps a well-deserved reputation in the past, I don't think it's as well-deserved in the present.
Right, and I might agree with you on that, absolutely. But and that just means our work is even more cut out for us as Christians.
Yeah, because we have a much bigger handicap now.
Exactly. And again, that handicap, I mean, the message that God loves you needs to be the primary message conveyed. And, I in Proposition 8, unfortunately, living through that, I would say I did not hear that as the primary message. Had I heard that as the primary message, I would feel very differently
about
it.
Well, it would depend
Milk.
On who was packaging it, because when you heard it from the source of those that were really for Proposition 8, they were saying that. But if you heard it packaged on the media, they found sound bites that made sure. And you can always go out and interview some nutcase off the street and make sure that the calm, rational person is not being interviewed.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. And, but again, it's a movie. It's not going there. The idea behind this movie wasn't necessarily to portray things evenly or
it had an agenda.
Yeah, it had its agenda.
It had an agenda for sure. Well, our agenda is to continue reviewing other movies that were nominated for Best Picture and other awards. Oscar night, we'll be back with film critic Mark Boobian.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home, or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Bill, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuild." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuildInc.com. That's ProBuildInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuild.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with film critic Mark Boobian. We're discussing the nominees for Best Picture and other Academy Awards. Barrett called in with a question about the movie Fireproof, a Christian movie with a great family message. He wanted to know if we were aware of any nominations for Fireproof. No, Barrett, and that doesn't surprise me because it was a movie that really lifted up family values. Now, I didn't think the acting in Fireproof was particularly good. It was a good story, though. It was a good movie. I liked it. I wouldn't have nominated any of the actors, but I could have told you just based on the subject matter that, God forbid, they'd nominate something like that. We're continuing now. Mark, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. More along the line, if you were looking for a Christian movie that was getting snubbed, I think the Passion of the Christ would be one of those.
Or a year ago, Bella was just an excellent movie. It wasn't portrayed as a Christian movie, but it had a positive pro-life statement, which they didn't hit you over the head with, incidentally. It was in there much more subtly, and it was excellent.
There
and
you go.
It even won the Toronto Film Festival, but didn't get any nods by the Oscars.
Yeah. Juno, though, did actually was up for Best Picture last year and had a pro-life message in a very funny
way. It did.
Way.
I must confess, it did.
So, you know, it's not... Again, the Academy's unpredictable. They're made up of human beings.
Well, there are some conservatives in Hollywood. They're kind of a lot of them are like a silent. I don't know if they're a silent majority, but they're certainly not as much of a minority as people think. But they're usually afraid to speak out in public. But when it comes time to vote, sometimes a few of them get over the fence.
Yeah, well, and then again, there's also the fact that maybe Juno was just a good movie and everybody liked it.
Or maybe they were too dumb to notice that it had a pro-life message.
Right. Well, there you go. And, you know, and the thing is messages, you know, I can go see a movie with a message that I agree with or disagree with. There's movies
and still say it's well done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, right. Exactly. Now, Milk, we've been talking about its agenda. Now, I want to make it clear that the reason I didn't like the movie was because it didn't play like it had a good story. There wasn't a good story. The characters were well done, but there wasn't anything to hold them together. The story was just... it's just a story about a guy who's living his life and is going to be assassinated. And it really played more as a history of the gay agenda at that time period. It was mixed between it being a movie about the burgeoning gay agenda movement and the life of Harvey Milk himself. And they may have credited him more than they should have, I got the impression, because they were trying to bring in as much of the gay movement as they could. And since Milk was the main character, I think they attributed quite a bit to him that may not have actually been works that he did. But I don't know that for sure, since I don't know the history of that time period. That was just my impression. But again, that, you know, the agenda isn't necessarily the reason.
So you're
the
not so had it despite the agenda, if it had been a well-made movie and a good story, you would have still said I didn't like the message, but good movie.
Yeah, just like I'm going to say, right. Sean Penn deserves to win Best Actor in this movie, even though he played a character that, you know, I don't necessarily, whose message I wouldn't necessarily agree with, but he still played the character very well. Now, one last thing I want to say about Milk, and I do want to end on this point, and I think it's really important for me as a Christian to convey this, that back to the "and God does not hate you." For those people in the audience that are homosexual, if you're listening, God does not hate you. I absolutely agree with that. I think that is biblical and true. That is a message that I certainly want to get out as a Christian.
The Bible teaches that God loves everybody and that there's nothing anybody has done that God would not forgive.
Absolutely.
And that God would not still. That does not mean that God approves of all of our lifestyles, but neither does it mean that one lifestyle is worse than another. We're all in the same boat as far as God is concerned.
We are all in the same boat. Absolutely. And that, I think, is a really important thing. Now, and back into the Academy Award boat goes Frost Nixon. Now, here's a movie that I was just talking about, agenda not necessarily being an important element that would ruin a movie for me. In this case, Frost Nixon's agenda did ruin the movie.
Now, I think we diverge on this one. I enjoyed the movie. Part of that's because I do a lot of debating, and this was kind of like a debate. But I had heard that Ron Howard had kind of an anti-George Bush agenda that he was trying to slip into this movie, even though it was about Nixon. And I got to say, I didn't catch that. I heard about it, but when I actually saw the film, I did not see that.
Wow.
It seemed like they were just portraying what actually happened in the interviews. Now, I was assuming that they were conducting the interviews accurately in the movie. If those interviews didn't really go that way, that would be an enlightening piece of information.
Yeah, but the interviews are only a tiny portion of the film. All the other stuff, I assume they didn't have transcripts of, because David Frost.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just talking about the interviews themselves.
Yeah, and I agree with
you.
So
you saw that George Bush agenda in there, or are you talking about a different agenda?
I saw one moment where there was an something that we could draw to an anti-Bush statement.
Where was that?
And that came near the end of the film. There's a reference to Cambodia and the Bamboo Pentagon, which didn't exist, and you, Mr. Nixon, used that as justification for the war, and we now know it didn't exist.
I missed that.
And I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, there's kind of a parallel of the WMDs that didn't exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I saw that. Now, again, that may be accurate because that did come up in the interviews. That may be accurate to that time period, but it was singled out and specified because
right.
They obviously didn't give us all 6 or 8, 9 hours of the interviews in the film.
Now, how about the movie artistically and dramatically and as an entertainment? I did find it a thoroughly entertaining movie.
I thought a part of it was good. I got caught up initially, but then they lost me. And the reason is again, they painted in such broad strokes. I think Ron Howard, he was a terrible director in this movie. I'm just going to put it out there.
He's not my favorite director.
This movie.
He's been a hit and miss director for me. I've liked about half of his stuff.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I'm throwing in the towel on this bozo now because this movie he blew it on this one. I mean, the thing is David Frost, his character is made up of him being a womanizer, and he knows TV but not politics. That's pretty much it. I've summed up his character all in one right there. That's it. That's David Frost. And that's all we see for 99% of the movie. He's painted it as purely as a black and white character.
Okay,
and that's all there is.
Frost Nixon with film critic Mark Boubian and other Academy Award nominees when we return. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show 4 nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show with film critic Mark Boubian. We were talking about Frost Nixon before we went to the commercial break.
Yeah, and I was talking about David Frost being painted as sort of a black and white character. I think Ron Howard did the same thing with the Nixon character. Now, it's important to note that this was a play originally, and Frank Langella, who plays Nixon, also played Nixon in the play and won a Tony Award for that depiction. And I don't think he deserves that award for this depiction, partially because, as I think I mentioned earlier, that I didn't see it as Nixon. I saw it as Frank Langella playing Nixon. That was a problem for me. That may just be because I have seen so much of Richard Nixon throughout my life that I couldn't sort of change my view to this particular actor. But the other thing is Frank Langella played him, again, so black and white. There were very few moments of subtlety that I would have credited to this actor. Now, they were there once in a while, but I don't think Ron Howard let those moments shine through.
No gray areas, nothing sympathetic about Nixon.
Absolutely. There was nothing sympathetic about Nixon. How can that be? He's a human being. He had to do something right, didn't he?
Well, and they did portray him as toward the end as feeling some remorse over what he had done.
And that's the only time, but that's completely undermined at the end of the movie. Let me point out a few things. Now, initially, I thought this was going to be an exercise in subtlety in terms of Nixon, because there's a moment where Nixon, you get the sense that he's kind of greedy when money is brought up, when this notion of the interviews is brought to him and they were going to pay him money for it. And there's this, you know, he kind of gives the camera a certain look. He lifts his eyebrow. There's a smirk. And there's no line here. It's just the way he looks. Oh, he's compelled by the money. You get that sense. And that's a credit to Langella's acting prowess. But that's it. It ends there. After that, we hear that, you know, do you think you could get $500,000 instead of $200,000 and make the check out to Richard Nixon and not my agent who's standing right here? And Richard Nixon's advice to David Frost, marry that woman because she comes from Monaco where they pay no taxes.
Oh, that's
so
true.
It's all about money. He's a completely greedy man.
Very broad strokes.
You know, exactly. And if they had left it with that one moment of subtlety, of subtle acting, the movie would have been good to me. But they didn't. They just banged you over the head with, he is greedy. He's also self-absorbed, self-serving, and his desire is to regain power. And to top it all off, he's a racist. Now, I don't think there's any formal evidence that he's a racist, but in the movie they bring up this David Frost was going to potentially marry this woman, and Nixon says, isn't she black? And kind of gruffly, And,
yeah, no,
okay,
again,
so he's very disapproving.
If he had ever
of this.
Said something like that, that would be one thing. But if they just threw that in the movie, that would be.
And I think they did, because this is a moment that's outside of the context of the interviews. This is
that they would not have had a transcript for. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And so, again, this is why I didn't like the movie. And this is Ron Howard's fault. This is not the fault of Frank Langella, the actor who did such a good job in the play, apparently. This is the fault of the director who's allowing these broad strokes, and he's hitting us over the head.
Okay, well, in the time we have left, there was one of the five nominees that you did like.
Okay, let's just jump to that then. Yeah, and instead of complaining about all the bad movies, I do not recommend any of the movies I've seen
actually,
so far.
But in the time we have left, I wanted you to at least get in the one that you like.
Okay, well, that's the last movie on the list is The Reader. And You know, this is the only really good movie of the bunch, the only movie that deserves to be credited with being a nominee for Best Picture. Here's a movie that actually asks questions and leaves it up to us to think, instead of Ron Howard hitting us over the head with a sledgehammer that Nixon is evil, Frost is good. We actually come away thinking for ourselves. So The Reader is about a woman who's being convicted of being a Nazi war
Kate
criminal.
Kate Winslet portraying the part.
Yes, and I believe
she's got a very complex character.
Yeah,
by the
she
way.
Has a Best Actress nomination. She was in two movies. I'm not sure if it's for this or the other one, but
it is for this. She was nominated and very well deserved. I had difficulty figuring out where she was coming from.
Right,
because
yeah.
It's a good example of them not clubbing us on the head.
Exactly, and here's a movie where they're asking us the most difficult of questions. Because throughout our lives, we've been taught that Nazis are evil. And here's a woman who did commit war crimes by her admission in the movie. But this is after we've learned to like her and get to know her through the eyes of this young man.
And it raises the questions of how a likable person could get caught up in evil.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And how did she get there? And how do we deal with somebody that we want to label a monster? We want to say, you know, put them in the box. Here's this box called monster. Let's put you in there. But we can't, because we care about you as a human being. You have complex, deep emotions and feelings. You have, you know, you can love and you can enjoy reading and you can care for other people. How do we take you from there and put you in a box called monster? It's a very complex film in those lines. And I think for those reasons, it's not going to get an Oscar. This is the one movie that absolutely has no hope of winning the Oscar.
Well, it did have a lot of gratuitous nudity. Maybe it'll win for that. I should say for the Christians in the audience, because I thought it was an excellent movie. And sometimes I'm of the opinion that nudity actually fits the story. In this particular case, I felt they could have told the same story probably without any nudity, but certainly without as much. It was just was very over the top, I thought. And it's too bad, because it was an extremely interesting story.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually felt the nudity was appropriate for the film. But, you know, I mean, they did spend a lot of time having sex at the beginning of the movie. So I guess since I did notice that, it probably was a little too much. They could have toned it down.
Well, you know,
some.
When you think of something like The Graduate, the fact that he was having an affair, Dustin Hoffman, with Anne Bancroft, was central to the movie, but they showed very little, and they did allow us to use our imagination.
That's true.
And they still told a powerful story.
That is absolutely true. And, you know, that probably wasn't necessary for her character.
Having said that, though, her acting was impeccable. It
yes.
really was.
And actually, the acting of all the characters in the film were very good. Ralph Fiennes does a very
He's
good job
good.
As well.
He's
yeah.
always good.
And these are actors you can really count on. But I think the reason it doesn't have any chance is because it's taking us to a place we don't want to go as a viewer. We don't want to have empathy for someone who we should be casting in the mind of evil. It's sort of the opposite of Crash, where in Crash we're shown people that are racist, but we are shown that they have a good side too. But we're shown so much racism in Crash that we can connect with at least one instance.
Well, not only that, but I've walked out of the theater still not absolutely sure if this woman had felt any remorse. There were some indications that she did. There were other indications that she didn't necessarily.
That's absolutely a good point.
And I was trying to, I mean, when she could have gotten herself off, or at least gotten a lesser sentence, by admitting that she didn't know how to read and write, because they were trying to frame her for having written these letters. And on one hand, you're going, well, maybe she wants to send herself to prison because she feels she should pay for what she did. But on the other hand, she was portrayed as just being embarrassed because she didn't know how to write. So you walked out of there not even being sure why she didn't save herself.
Right. That's a very good point. And, you know, again, it leaves you with a lot to think about.
Which I like.
Yeah, and I agree. I like that a lot, too. But, you know, unfortunately, this is the movie with the least chance to win the Oscar.
I've heard that she's favored to maybe win the Best Actress.
Yeah, she probably will. So there will be some recognition. She has a very good chance.
Anna Jolene, what's that her name?
Angelina Jolene.
She did a very good job in The Changeling, too, and I would not be unhappy. And Meryl Streep always gets nominated, but in this particular case, the movie that she was nominated for was a very good film, and Meryl Streep did a superb job. She played the a mother superior at I can't even remember the name of the movie now.
Doubt,
yeah. Good film, and she did do a very good job.
Yeah, and she's a very good actress. So, I mean, there's stiff competition in that category. I think in the best actor category, there's a fair amount of competition, probably not quite as stiff as the best
actress.
Now,
let's talk a little bit
category.
About Heath Ledger. He's passed away, and a lot of people think they're going to give him the award because he died. I thought he did a phenomenal performance in a kind of movie that doesn't usually get an Oscar nomination.
Which it didn't.
And I think they'll probably give him the award because he's dead. And it's ironic, because he would deserve to get the award dead or alive. But I think they're probably going to give it to him posthumously.
Well, I actually hope that they do, because I mentioned Josh Brolin being up for the award as well.
Who was in very little of the movie.
Yeah, almost none of Milk, and just played a you know, a disturbed guy, and he just, it was sort of just a there kind
well,
of
Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. What happened to Valkyrie, Defiant, 7 Pounds? Even Hancock would have been better than some of these, Grand but we'll have to talk about some of those movies at another time. Mark, always good to see you. Enjoy Academy and Awards night, as it were. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.
Is your fence teetering on its side like the Leaning Tower?